she said, "Do you come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover. Yeah. You better run, you better take cover."
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Nation podcast, a unique baseball podcast.
Today, we have Red Sox Hall of Famer Bill Spaceman Lee.
No, thanks for doing this, Bill.
Oh, no. Thanks for it's I got in here. I type in the email and then I don't know how to get the link. And thank God the librarians are all ahead of me and know everything.
No, I mean, I guess first things first, Bill, like, could you, you know, what did sports look like for you growing up?
Growing up, I was at a ball game. My aunt played, my grandfather played, my dad played. You know, I was probably go to the game, sit, watch them drink beer. We'd get a Foster Freeze. And I think I was at a ballpark all the time. I'm Scotty Drysdale. My dad played for Scotty Drysdale. Don Drysdale was the bat boy, you know, right there in the valley. And my dad played for Reseda Drugs. He played for Guido Jacopussy's Dairy. He played everywhere. And I think, you know, I was destined to be a ball player.
Nice. Well, you know, and then kind of like moving forward, like with college recruiting, like kind of what did that look like for you? Like kind of moving into college?
Wow. I never thought of college. You know, I just kept playing American Legion. I did what I did. And then when it came time to go to college, I wanted to go to Oregon State, be a forest ranger and play for this guy up there. He was a World War II, you know, veteran. He was all shot up and I wanted to go there. And then my family said, "No, your family runs USC. You're going to USC on a scholarship and you're going to play for Rod Dedeaux." And my dad said, "Would you rather be a little fish in a big pond or a big fish in a little pond?" And I didn't know the answer to that, but he was right. You want to go to the biggest pond and be the littlest fish because you're going to grow and you're going to have something to eat for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, it's definitely, and just to kind of see the way like college baseball has grown, I mean, some of those Div 1 programs now, it's pretty cool to see.
It is, but, you know, my son's the number one coach of women's fast pitch.
Yeah.
In a JUCO down in Florida State, Northwest Florida State, yep. Number one in the nation. And those kids, they do well and they get to go to a 4-year program afterwards on a ride. And I see a lot of kids going through JUCO now instead of the 4-year program.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Bill. Like, it, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially now, like you can go as a freshman, right? Div 1, but you might not play. And sometimes going JUCO can be a good fit.
It Pujols. Look at Pujols. There's a lot of good ones that came out of there like that. And you know, I really believe in it. I'm trying to get that son out of there and stuff.
Okay.
I got no teeth. I don't know if you can see this video. I ended up, this is how I looked like in 71 down in Puerto Rico after I had my teeth knocked out. And then in 81 with the Expos, I had a bike accident and lost 5 more. And now it's called a Maryland Bridge. It used to go between these two eye teeth and it collapsed. And a week after mine collapsed, the bridge in Maryland collapsed.
Well, there you go.
I go, wow, that makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bill, like you got drafted there, like, you know, pretty kind of late, give or take.
I was late. You know, I was 38-8. I was 9-0 as a freshman. I beat Claude Osteen and the Dodgers when I was a junior. I won a lot of games, but I didn't impress scouts for some reason, and I don't know what that was all about.
Hmm. But, I mean, you obviously, like, you didn't really have that much of a grind in the minors compared to some of the other guests I've had on the show. Like, you got called up the next year, right?
I went down to, yeah, Waterloo, Iowa. I remember that.
Yep.
And my manager was Rachel Slider. He called himself Rack. Don't call me Rachel. Ex-Marine.
Okay.
And he wouldn't let me play. He said I was fat and out of shape. Finally, Neil Mahoney and Ed Kinney of the organization said, why isn't he pitching? He said, well, he's not good enough. And they gave me the ball. I threw a one-hitter. I remember that. The leadoff hitter got on. I picked him off base or got a double play, and I pitched a 27-out ball game. And the next day I was on a plane going to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I played for Bill Slack, good manager, and a pitcher. And it was a big difference. I threw a one-hitter there and went to Double A the next year out of spring training, got married, and was in the big leagues by July.
Nice. Well, you know, and then I was going to ask you, Bill, like, could you talk to us a little bit about your MLB debut?
I came up doubleheader. I got to the ballpark and saying hello to everybody, went out in the bullpen, and we had the lead, and Mike Nagy was coughing it up, and they gave me the ball in the third inning, and I threw 4 2/3 innings of relief, didn't give up a run, and we came back, won the ball game. I didn't get the win, and I was there to stay. So you get your foot in the door, make an impression, and I could pitch. Mel Parnell was the announcer. I remember that, and he was the great left-hander that I came up, and I became the second great left-hander after him and a bunch of guys back in the early 1900s that were even better than me. A kid named Babe Ruth. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was okay. Well, you know, like, Bill, could you describe kind of what type of pitcher you were and kind of what pitches did you throw?
It's funny. I was looking at my stats today. I was reading a book and they fell out on the grass. I like to read outside. And, you know, I had an amazing year in 72. I had a fielding percentage of 1,000.
Nice.
I had a great ERA. I had no starts. And we lost by a half a game to Detroit. Just think if the manager had started me, you know, I was 9-2 in 71, didn't get to pitch hardly in 72. Mm. And we could have won the World Series that year. We would have beat Detroit. We would have played the A's, who we beat in 75. And it would all been different. You know, you just don't get sometimes the opportunity in history that you know, allows you to be a 200 to 300 game winner and stuff. And then maybe I don't get hurt in the brawl in Yankee Stadium. And yeah. I'm still pitching today. You know, you saw that. You saw me pitch when you were drinking all that beer down there and everything. That was fun. I tell you, I like to go out and compete.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, like, did it matter to you, Bill, like, whether you were a starter or relief pitcher? Or did it matter?
No. I mean, I just like to play. I like to compete. I like to hit. You know, I always wanted to get in there. And that's why when I get kicked out of baseball, I started playing amateur ball.
Yeah.
I played for Longueuil Senators, and then we got beat up in Rouen, Noranda. No, we won there, and then we went out to Forestville, and we got beat, and the league folded. And the next year, I'm in Moncton. They call me, and I play for the Moncton Mets, and I'm playing for Moncton. And we lose to the Windsor Chiefs. Then the Windsor Chiefs invite me to a tournament, and I'm out there in Detroit, in Windsor, right across from Detroit. And I remember they flew me out for the game. They said, what do you want? What do you want for pay? I said, pay. I said, just bat me fourth. You know, so I got the bat fourth. I hit a home run, you know, and the guy said, what the hell's his name? He in the Canadian Hall of Fame. He's one of the selectors and stuff. He played for the Windsor Chiefs. Anyway, he goes, Bill, you're the only player in Canadian history to hit a home run in every province and to throw a complete game in every province.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I hold dear. You know,
that's awesome.
I remember we're playing a slow pitch game in Kelowna. And we beat them the year before, and they were a powerful team. And we're playing in a fast pitch with about a 20-foot bench, but it's only 200 feet. So you got to get the ball up. I went 6 for 6 with 6 home runs. Wow. And I went, wow. They didn't play us anymore after that, you know. But I toured Canada for, you know, I married my second wife out of Montreal. I married in Jamaica, Pam, and then I married Diana about 10 days after that divorce, and from Alberta. So I'm endeared to Canada. I get all my wives in Canada.
Well, you know, like speaking of Canada there, Bill, like how was your time with the Montreal Expos?
It was 4 great years. I mean, I cried when I got up there. I cried when I got traded. I was the player rep. The fans loved me. But I went to Montreal, and it was a blessing in disguise because the Red Sox were going down. The Expos had never played above 500. I got on that team, and we almost won the pennant in 79, 80, and 81, my 3 great years there. In 82, I get released because I'm the player rep, and that was the strike year was 81. So The fans loved me. The great thing, I remember the fans and the French, mostly the French Canadians, they go, "We love Bill Lee. We don't speak English, and either does he." So that was good.
That's awesome.
And I'm going back up. I'm writing books up there with Terry Mosher, and I do a lot of fundraisers for the Children's Hospital. And I still play with Claude Raymond and Denny Boucher and all the ex-Expos that come up and play.
Yeah.
You know, and we tour and we raise money, and that's what you do when you retire. You go out and do fundraisers.
That's awesome. Well, you know, Bill, like you touched, you know, you kind of played, you know, some men's league ball in Canada, but like kind of like, you ended up kind of going to other countries too to play, right? Or like Cuba and
Soviet Russia. Union.
Yeah. Like how was some of those experiences?
Oh, that was amazing to go in the last year of the Soviet Union. I went over there. I beat the national team twice on a Thursday and then again on a Saturday. I got drunk. I got arrested 3 times and the wall fell down. You know, it wasn't Ronald Reagan. It was me. Yeah, you know, send me over. I get rid of Putin in a day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, that's kind of where we connected, right? Cuba, right? Like we were coaching kind of like that 16U kind of Team Alberta team. And, I've always appreciated like baseball in Cuba and what they've got over there. Like it's a pretty special country.
It is. They live to play baseball. That's the only outlet they have. It's a grind. You know, they have very few cars. They have no trains that run like we do. It's a gorgeous island that could be a paradise, you know, but we just, the Canadians, and I believe the Chinese are the 2 biggest trading partners now of the Cubans and keeping them afloat. It used to be the Soviets, what they pulled out. Then they went downhill and, you know, then Trump came in and I got kicked out of the country. And that really broke my heart because I'd like to go back one more time just to say goodbye to all my friends over there.
Yeah, I mean, like just the talent that they produced, right? And like the journey that they have to get to the bigs, like definitely it's a special country for me too. Yeah.
Well, Moncada, when he got adopted by that mayor in Florida, he was 21 years old and he comes over and he gets a tryout with the Red Sox. He breaks all his bats. I gave him 2 baseball bats, my big knob bats, and he used those and he ended up signing for like $12 million.
Nice. after playing, like you've kind of done a lot of stuff, Bill, right? And like kind of got into bat making.
Yes. I got into that in New Brunswick. Stevie Vail and another partner, they came out and they started the old bat company out of Hampton, New Brunswick, just north of St. John. Okay. And we made the Miramichi Masher after Ted Williams. We had the Excalibur, the big knob bat that I designed. And we sold to a lot of a lot of Canadian teams that did not break our product. And that's why we didn't sell very many bats, because they never broke.
It's good and bad, hey? No.
Not a bad thing to have. It's, you know, we just made too good a product. And I believe that the ash and then the yellow birch and especially the maple in New Brunswick, because there's so much wind, it seems to have a more tensile strength. It really was a good bat. And nice. Then I left that and I went with Nakona when I got back into the States, and then they got bankrupt and on the bat side. Mm-hmm. And then I started with Axis, and I'm still with Axis. I cut wood, nice. You know, I dry it in my barn in Vermont, and then I take it. But there's a great company in Quebec now called Mark Lumber, M-A-R-K, two yes. little dots over the A, and they're good.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and like,
make bats. Like that, they make the axe handle bat up there.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Like that process, Bill, like it's not an easy process to make a bat, no?
No way. You got to grow the tree. It takes 100 years to grow the tree. You know, you don't make them in your lifetime. You're making your grandfather's wood, yeah. you know, and you got to dry it, and that takes time. And then you got to turn it into a cant, and then in the dowel shaped, and then you got to put it on the lathe. You got to get the right design on it. You got to know how to put it in the lathe correctly so that the grain side's one side and you have your notch in the barrel. And then you got to deal with all the players that want them specifically a certain weight. Mm. It's a very difficult process.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just curious, Bill, like what's your thoughts on like, you know, college baseball aluminum bat versus wood bat? Do you think?
Oh. Never used an aluminum bat. I used a Mizuno, the Big Knop Excalibur, where yep. I designed mine. And it was a 34.5, 35.5 ounce bat, but it was balanced. I hit 200 home runs with that in nice. Amateur baseball, you know, yep. and it didn't break. It doesn't have a dent in it. It's titanium. And I stole that design from Mizuno. They don't know it, but that's where I made my wood bats.
Nice. Yeah, I always enjoyed like playing college summer ball, like just pitching against wood bat as opposed to aluminum. It just, if I was going to give up like a hit to with a wood bat or a home run, sure, I'll tip my hat. But aluminum bat, I'm like, was that the hitter or the bat? I don't know.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's why that -5 or -7, it's easier to get around and it's more forgiving and they don't break. And, you know, you hit that with that Mizuno, it had such a long C243 barrel that I hit so many home runs by not hitting it on the screws.
Yeah.
And the wood bat is the Big Hurt. He was there in Orleans in the Cape Cod League. He only hit one home run.
Really?
When he was in college and stuff. And
yeah.
They could not make the transition. And. Yep. Pete Incaviglia, there were a lot of guys that didn't make it in the big leagues that could hit with aluminum.
Hmm. Yeah, very true. Well, you know, and you kind of mentioned, Bill, like still playing, like, you know, like you were doing some stuff with the Savannah Bananas. Are you still doing some stuff with them, or how was that time?
No, when you die three times, they really don't call you back. they scares the children, but I'm going to pitch again in Fenway. I worked out Saturday. I pitched. I got drunk. I got laid, and I woke up. So it's like old times.
That sounds horrible. You
know, I know. It was the thing about baseball. It's there's no clock. You know, like right after I finish this show, I'm going to go back into the truck. I'm going to go out and throw 100 baseballs or softballs up against the screen.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my stretches. I'm going to have one beer, you know, I'm going to read and go to bed.
Nice. Well, yeah. And you came out, you came out and pitched in the FNBA, like the Calgary Men's League. And that was awesome to kind of even like that one game you threw whatever 3 1/3. And I came and threw whatever 2 2/3 after you. Like that was a pretty special day for me. That was fun.
Well, it was a special day for me. The special day was the game where you were throwing the beer cans in that little hole.
Hey, I mean, that's a tough game.
I tell you, it's hard. It's like It's like cornhole or whatever you call it. But it's with beer cans. It's I think it's you should have those in every Canadian park. Oh. I just lost you. I just pulled the power cord out. Hey, well, but I didn't lose you.
I played twice last year, Bill, and I got hurt both times. And I actually had to do like physio to kind of honestly to like coach this year. What's some of your secrets to like your longevity and like still playing at your age? Like, I mean, it's impressive.
I work out with a ballerina in Montreal named Miranda Esmond White. You can get her online. Okay. It's called Eccentrics. And you look at her and you follow her in the morning for 20 minutes and the rest is easy.
Okay, that's fair.
We're only pushing Canadian content here.
Well,
there's Charles Atlas, there's Gus Hoffling that taught me with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, dynamic tension, Charles Atlas, all these things are out there. You just have to do them. And the problem with America, you got these cell phones and you don't get to do what you want to do.
Mm. Well, you know, like that's where like the game has gone, like velocity, right? But then there's all these guys getting hurt right now. What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
Decelerate properly, drop and drive, go back to the old way. I had 72 complete games and 221 starts. That's 1 out of 3. You know, they don't do that anymore. What you're seeing today is the end of pitching in America. It's not pitching. No one pitches very seldom anymore. They all throw. And you got to get back. If you want to play this game and play it in 2 hours, you don't need a time clock. You need to go up behind young kid pitchers when they're pitching and get a pair of 8-inch pliers and get up behind them. And they got a nail in their ass and you got to grab on and pull that nail out, you know, and then they got to take a good dump. It's called anal retentiveness. And that's the problem with Canadian and American youth.
Well, I know it's just funny. Like you mentioned the social media part, right? Like I'll get videos all the time and you see like guys are throwing hard, but it's like they have no idea where it's going, right? Or like
repeat. You can't do that when you try to throw harder every time. The key is to throw the ball and make it move the last 2 seconds or 1 second in the strike zone. You know, that's Greg Maddux, you know, Juan Marichal.
Yeah.
All the great ones. Warren Spahn had a great sinker. All you have to do is make that ball sink. You keep it in the ballpark, or they got to hit it the other way. And then you got a Roberto Clemente, a Freddie Lynn, you know, and a Dwight Evans. They go down and run it down and they make the play.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Pitch to contact. Throw strikes. Be smooth. Keep the ball down. Don't alibi. It's written on my glove. It is written. Defense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, you know, Bill, like with it being Sidearm Nation, like was there like a time in your career, like would you kind of drop down sometimes to?
Only
to
when I was hurt.
Gotcha. No, that's fair. Yep.
Yeah, I would throw it from anywhere. You know, I mean, I've had rotator cuff. I've had my elbow hurt. You know, I've had total dislocation. I have a acromioclavicular separation of my AC, of my joint, my acromioclavicular up on top of my shoulder. You get hurt, you heal, you come back.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Did you have many teammates that were sidearm submarine pitchers, Bill?
No, not too many. I don't remember. Yeah, they couldn't throw strikes. That's the one thing. When you drop down a lot, you have a hard time finding that release point and throwing it in the strike zone. And you can lose it in a hurry down there. But when you're compact and over the top and you're smooth as silk, you know, Maddux, if you're going to ever teach pitching, you start with Greg Maddux, I think.
Yeah, definitely a good guy to watch, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
In any other kind of pitching mechanical tips that you would have there, Bill?
Just always save the knuckleball for when you get old.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm going to break it out this year because, you know, I think when the wind's blowing in your face, you know, you got to have something that moves. And but a good sinker you know, a good sinker has always been my favorite pitch, and a circle change that I throw out of a perfect motion, and it's hard to read. You know, change speeds, throw to contact, don't walk anybody, keep the ball in the ballpark.
Yeah. You know, a fun pitch for me, like just in men's league the past few years, is like the Ephus. And honestly, I wish I would have thrown that like even in pro ball, but I just, you know, obviously, I don't know. I just didn't cross my mind, but like the hitter's reaction after you throw an Ephus, the next pitch is.
Well, I had to get hurt before I threw that.
Yeah.
I ended up having to change speeds because I couldn't throw hard anymore. So I had to adapt and do that. But you're right. If you can throw that ball and drop it right on home plate with two strikes, they got to be hacking.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, it's just time for our ninth inning call to the bullpen. So just going to be some questions just to learn a little bit more about you.
Good.
Favorite NHL team?
Wow, I'm probably the only guy that loves the Bruins and the Canadiens.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Very fair.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were both my teams, and I'm close to the Bruins, and I'm close to the old Canadian players. I toured with both teams and, you know, playing softball. So I have a love of both teams, and they're both, you know, so I got someone in the playoffs.
You got someone. Yep, that's true. Favorite travel destination?
Wow. Fairmont Hot Springs, British Columbia.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Yep. That's where I heal.
Yep, it's a good spot. All-time favorite professional wrestler?
Wow. The Sheik.
Yeah.
Way before you. He was a crazy guy, you know. I like them. I like people that are crazy.
Well, you know, other than your movie, Bill, like, what's your favorite baseball movie of all time?
Wow. My favorite baseball movie of all time. There's three of them, actually. Field of Dreams, 8 Men Out, and The Natural are the three that I've always gone to. Yeah. My dad didn't like those ones. He liked the one with Kevin Costner where he cuts his hand off and then he comes back and falls in love with that girl. But he was more of a romantic. But
there was a
great movie that hasn't been seen a lot. It's called It Happens Every Spring. It's a comedy and about a guy who invents a product that you put on. It makes the ball allergic to the wood.
What? Okay.
So
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And the funny thing is the catcher breaks his finger and has to have a wooden splint. And then he can't catch the ball. All hell breaks loose.
I'll have to check that one out, Bill.
Yeah, there's a lot of good baseball movies out there.
Yes. These next three questions, Bill, are like if you could take anyone dead or alive, and then the first one would be just to watch an MLB game in the stands.
Oh, Walter Johnson.
Yeah.
I would like to see Walter Johnson's at twilight. He's a side armor.
Yeah.
You know, and he threw from down there, and they say he was the hardest thrower. So I would have liked to seen him at twilight.
Yeah. The next one would be just out for a round of golf.
Wow. A round of golf. Bill Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a fun round.
That'd be a fun round with Bill Murray. I'd like to play with him and Caddyshack and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. And then the last one, Bill, just would be out to the bar for some drinks.
Oh, it's always been. I'll tell you, in Detroit, it's Lindell's AC. In Boston, it's the Elliott Lounge. You know, it was in Canada, it was Nuit Magique at 2 a.m. But you didn't know it was on St. Paul Street, and it was a freak show.
And, Bill, if you could be an Olympian in any sport other than baseball, summer or winter, what sport would you like to do?
I would have loved to have been a hockey player.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't skate real well, and, you know, but you get me in the crease, I'll be around for the rebound.
Yeah, nice. And then just my last question here, Bill, like you know, he was your teammate on the Red Sox for a few seasons, and he was born in Swift Current, Saskatchewan. Do you know which pitcher I'm talking about? He was your teammate?
Yeah. It's funny. There's a grave out there. It's the Spire grave. And I parked there in my Volkswagen one day, and I got up early in the morning and I took a leak on the Spire grave. But it was Reggie Cleveland's hometown. And I drove out that day and heading east into a ice storm, not an ice storm, but it was frozen down in them coulee washes. And that's when I rolled my Volkswagen in Swift Current. No, it wasn't Swift Current. Coppell, Saskatchewan, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
I loved it. That's amazing. I come in, they take me to the hospital, they get me stitched up and Pam stitched up, and they go, black ice, eh?
Was black? Yeah, you definitely got to be careful. Black ice will, yeah.
Yeah, it pulls you down in them coulee washes.
Oh, man. But no, I've heard the name a lot, Reggie Cleveland, and definitely there wasn't that many Canadians in the 70s and 80s. Definitely a few more now, and baseball's kind of growing in Canada. Like, just kind of last thoughts there, Bill, like, kind of what have you seen kind of in baseball in Canada and kind of growing?
Well, I thought they had a hard time because the weather was tough and stuff, but they pitch in the wind. And I'm telling you, Reggie had a moving fastball. He just was a little heavy, and he hung a few breaking balls. He got in trouble against Cincinnati and lost that game. But he wasn't afraid to take the ball, and he was a great, great teammate.
Nice. No, I appreciate you coming on, Bill. Is there any kind of shout-outs before we sign off?
I just hope I get to see you soon. I want to get there. I really don't have to do anything. I just got to take care of my dog and my wife and get the wood ready for next winter. And then I'm just going to tour Canada. I'm going to get on that single highway right there in my Prius. And I would like to stop in every town, do a pitching clinic. And let's see, where's that place? Just south of Manitoba. I pitched in it just recently. It'll come to me. Sunflower capital of Canada. But I'm gonna cross Canada, see my friends, and stop and say hello to everybody. Nice. I'll come see you.
Absolutely. No, definitely. We're opening up a new facility here in Penticton. So definitely, love to have you out if that the timing works.
You're heaven. I want to be a little north of Penticton, up by the Sushwaps and stuff, but
yeah,
it's Altoona, Manitoba. Oh. That's where I pitched.
Yeah, okay.
There. I pitched for the junior team and the senior team, and I shut out the whole town.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's awesome. Thanks for having me, and I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. No, have a good rest of the week, and definitely keep in touch.
I will, and stay in touch. I'll see you soon. Take care, awesome. Jeff. Bye-bye.
Take care, Bill. Bye. Bye.
She said, "Deacon from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover, yeah. You better run, you better take cover.